Psalm 100. I don't know why this one. I have been struggling in memorizing it, so I was thinking, well, maybe if I studied it some more, and maybe that would help me to get it down. It's taken quite a long time, and I'm still not really smooth on this one. But the more I am looking at it, the more it's a blessing. You know, God's word is a blessing. God's word, you know, it's very present help in a time of trouble. And, you know, this is one thing where you see him, you see praise, you see worship, you see serving the Lord. And it also tells you why in this very short psalm. And I think it's a blessing. There's an awful lot in just a handful of verses here, and just a few sentences, really, you think about it, that God's word has a lot packed into it. So I'm going to look at this tonight. Psalm 100 is probably familiar to you. It says this: "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for its truth, Lord. Thank you for blessing the songs, the testimonies tonight, just allowing us to worship in your house. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to preach tonight, Lord, that you touch my throat, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray that we would get something from your word tonight. The Holy Spirit would teach us, open up our ears, Lord, and that we could learn more of you, draw closer to you, and in all things we ask. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So he starts off, verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." So you see right off the bat, the psalm starts out talking about worship. And he's saying at the beginning, it's an instruction, it's a command, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And here's the thing, we're not called to worship the Lord in sadness. You know, we're not called to worship the Lord emotionless, like through robotic or just going through the motions. We should be glad that we get to worship the Lord. It is a privilege that we get to come into his house. Now, I understand there will be times of grief, you know, times of sadness and hurt. You know, we've had a death in the church, and you come in the next service, it's not all happy. You know, there are times where we've worshiped through tears together, but so many times I believe that we don't come in the way that we should. We come in with the cares of the world still on us. Maybe we've kind of neglected prayer. We haven't really prepared to come into worship, and a lot of times it shows. He's saying, hey, I want you to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We need to be ready to worship before we even come into this place. You know, it's too late by the time you get here if your mind hasn't already started to think about the Lord. And this isn't just a call for Israel to worship the Lord. We know that it is, because this is actually a prophetic psalm. Part of it, he is saying, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So we know that's not happening today. Not every country, not everyone throughout the earth is praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. But I'm glad one day the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, is going to come back to this earth. He will sit on David's throne. He will rule and reign. And in that day, all the world will worship the Lord. They will come to Jerusalem to worship him. And I'm thankful for that. But, you know, it talks about having the right mindset when you come before the king. And I thought about this. Remember Nehemiah, when he had heard about the land, he had heard about what was going on, the walls were burned and all these things, and it made him sad. And he came before the king sad. You know, he came before the king in despair, and he was afraid of that. He was afraid because the king saw him that way and said, hey, you aren't sick. Why are you so sad? And here's the thing, we've got something to praise about. You know, we sing these songs, and I think sometimes we we forget the actual words and the meanings behind it. But our sins are forgiven when we come before Him. We are saved today. We have traded hell for heaven. He has given us true joy. So when we worship, we need to take the joy that the Lord has already given us and put in our heart, and we need to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I can't wait till that happens. But until that day happens, when He sits on the earthly throne of David, we can still worship Him and still make a joyful noise unto the Lord here. And I'm thankful for that. But look what it says right after this in verse 2. It says this: serve the Lord with gladness. You know, He's talking about worship in verse 1 and verse 2. Right behind praise and worship is serve the Lord with gladness. And I'm telling you what, just like praising the Lord, we can't serve the Lord begrudgingly. Have you ever seen someone like that? You know, they do something in the church, they do something for the Lord, and it's almost as if, man, the Lord is lucky to have me, right? The church is lucky to for me to be doing this. I'll do it just because I have to or everything else. No, it is an honor, just like it's an honor and a privilege to worship the Lord. It's an honor and a privilege to serve the Lord as well. You can stop and think about this real quick. You and I are not worthy to serve the Lord. We are not worthy to be a messenger or someone that does something for Jesus Christ. Why? Because we weren't worthy of going to heaven, right? We are sinners. We are saved by grace. And after we're saved, we fail Him. We mess up. We do the wrong thing. We make excuses and everything else. We are not worthy, but He wants us, and He gave us a specific plan for our lives before we were even born. That is special today. And here's the honest truth: if you're not serving the Lord, you're in rebellion. It's just that simple. We'll just put it right out there. But He says serve with gladness. So not only serve Him, but be glad when you're doing it. Then look what He says in verse 3. We'll come back to the second half of 2 in a minute. But verse 3: know ye that the Lord, He is God. It's a reminder right here. See, He's told us, here's some things that we need to do, right? We need to come into His presence with singing. We need to make a joyful noise unto Him. We need to serve the Lord with gladness. Why? Because the Lord, He is God. And you think that's just a simple three words right there, isn't it? But I think we forget it sometimes. Not that we forget that Jesus is God or anything like that, but I think if we truly believe that Jesus is God and that He's the God of this universe and He is in charge, we would make a joyful noise unto Him, right? If we truly believed that He was God with all our heart, we would serve Him with gladness. And for so many people, Jesus is only God on Sunday mornings. Well, as long as nothing else gets in the way, right? As long as nothing else is more important. And for some, He is God until He asks me to pick up my cross and follow Him, right? And until He asks me to be a disciple, until He asks me to walk by faith. You know, He's God until that. Because if we disobey God, remember this, we're proclaiming that we're God, right? I'm my own God. When I decide my own will and my own way and my own things, I'm saying, well, you know, Lord, yes, You're God, but not right now. I am. What's He saying? Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not ourselves. He made this earth. He made us. He made the universe. He made Israel. We didn't evolve. We didn't come here by chance. We didn't get any of those things. And here's the thing. People that are questioning, do we really need to worship the Lord? Do we really need to serve the Lord? They need to remember He made us and not ourselves. We are, and then it goes on, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. It's Jesus Christ that redeemed us, right? He died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price. We are His people. We belong to Him because He shed His blood and He paid the price for us by dying in our place. And you think about that. If He bought us and He owns us, or here's the other thing He talks about, what's He say? We're the sheep of His pasture. Let me ask you this question. Do the sheep decide where to go? Do the sheep decide which pasture to go to? Do the sheep decide when we're going to pick up and go to the water hole? No, it's the shepherd that leads the sheep. And here's what Jesus Christ is called in Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that is brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or complete in every good work to do his good will, or to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Aren't you glad that we were designed? He is the great shepherd. He is leading us. We are his sheep. He bought us with a price to do what? Make us perfect in every good work to do his will. That's why. And you're thinking, how does me doing his will make me complete? How does it make me perfect? I'll tell you how. It is when we step out in faith, when we trust God, when we do what God's called us to do, even though it doesn't make sense, even though we don't have all the answers, even though we might not have what we need until right up at the point. That is what is trusting God, believing in God, walking by faith. And when we do that, we realize that the provision comes from Him, the supply comes from Him, we submit to His authority, we worship Him with joy and serve Him with gladness, and He starts to deal with us. I tell you, the best, the most you'll ever learn about Jesus Christ is when you put your life in His hands. Not just for salvation, but you trust Him to walk and to do in His will. Let's go back to verse 2 at the end. What's He say? Verse 2 at the end, come before His presence with singing. And then down to verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You realize the second part of verse 2 and verse 4 tells us how we need to approach God. This is how we approach the Lord, right? You know, you think about in those days they would have a king, and there's a certain way you would approach a king, and if you didn't approach him the right way, they'd either lock you up or take your head off. And here's the problem. We today, because Jesus isn't sitting on the throne, we have followed some of these modern churches or so-called churches today. They just flippantly go to the Lord as if He's their buddy, their pal, and everything else, as if He could care less what they're doing or living holy or anything else. And I'm telling you what, the Bible tells us there we need to approach Him in a certain way. We need to approach Him with humility. We need to approach Him with reverence. What's it say? We need to come before His presence with singing, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. You see all of these things together. Praise, worship, thanksgiving, and thankfulness, and everything else. And I'll tell you what. See, this again, part of this psalm is talking about that future day when He sits on the earthly throne, but I believe it applies to us today. When we come into this sanctuary, what do we need to have? We need to have a thankful heart. Right? That's what He said. If we're gonna worship Him, if we're going to come before His presence, if you believe that where two or three are gathered today, there He is in the midst, then we are coming before Him today. We need to be thankful, and a thankful heart that's ready to worship, that's already actively serving Him. And that is how you bless the name of Jesus. He says, that's how I want you to come before Him. I'll tell you what, worship is a lot easier after you've started thanking Him for things. Right? Serving Him's a lot easier once you start thanking for Him, thanking Him for things. And I'll tell you what, it'll get you into a better mindset. I've said it many times. I've been in a down low spot. I've been in trials and different things and didn't think that anything could get me out until I just started thanking God for things. And just the first things that came to my mind, it didn't have to be extravagant or anything. And by the time I got to the fourth or fifth or sixth thing, things started to change. And usually you get to about the tenth thing and you're about to shout. Why? Because God inhabits that. He wants us to thank Him. And I just read, I was talking to Larry before coming here. We were talking about Romans chapter 1. It's got a whole list of bad things, and one of those things is unthankful. Right next to men not having their natural affection with women. Right next to that is being unthankful. Ooh, that's hard. Anyway, verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. You think there's so many ways so many reasons we could praise the Lord, so many things we could be thankful for. And this psalm gives us a couple of examples. It says right here, right off the bat, for the Lord is good. And that is true. Is that true in your life? Isn't He a good God today? Isn't He been a good God to you? He has our best interests in mind. He intercedes for the church. He's not an evil God. He is not a God that tricks us. He's not a God that over promises and under delivers or mean or anything else, but He has been a good God to us, and we can thank Him for that, right? We can thank Him that He's been good. He's been good to our families. He's been good to us when we haven't been good to Him and didn't deserve it. And then I could just stop and ask you the question, has He been good to you? Has He been good to you? That song I love, I Feel Like Traveling On. You get to verse 4 and it says, the Lord's been so good to me. And I say, thank the Lord for that. He has, it's true. Maybe if you think about some of those things that God's done to show goodness in your life before you come into this sanctuary the next time, I guarantee it will change your worship. It will change how you praise Him. And it'll change how you serve Him. Not just for the Lord is good, but it says His mercy is everlasting. His mercy is forever. And you realize if the mercy of God was anything shorter than everlasting, if His mercy was just shy of eternity, do you realize what would happen? We would leave this earth, we would go to heaven, we would be in heaven for a long time, and if His mercy wasn't to everlasting, whenever it ended, maybe we spend 100,000 years, but then the mercy runs out, He would take us out of heaven and He'd have to put us in hell. But He doesn't have to do that because His mercy is everlasting, right? When He forgives us of our sins, it is forever. Praise God. He said, the mercy's not going to run out. Aren't you glad it's new every morning? And when we get to heaven, that's a permanent place because His mercy is everlasting. Not only that, but His truth endureth to all generations. And what's a blessing is when the Holy Spirit inspired the psalmist to write down this psalm and pin that down. It was true that day. It was true when Jesus walked on this earth in His earthly ministry. It's true today as I'm reading it, and it will be true forever. Not just that one verse or this psalm, but every single word out of God's word will endure forever. I love Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Right? We work on the yards, we get the flower beds going good, and near the end of what happens? Once the summer ends, it starts to get cold. What happens? The flowers droop, the trees lose their leaves, everything gets dead again. But aren't you glad God's word doesn't go through seasons? It's not a true at one point and not true. It's not alive at one point and then dead for a while in hibernation. He says, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Even when this world is gone, amen, God's word will still stand. And again, that's important because when this world's gone, when this earth is gone, when the current heaven is gone, and He makes a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem, if all the promises were locked into this earth, they'd be gone. But He says, hey, something's going to stand longer than that, right? And again, the Bible says His mercy is everlasting. Well, that wouldn't do me any good if the pages that said it aren't true after a while. But He says every generation. Praise God. You know, I wish this world would get a hold of that. And when I say this world, I wish the church would get a hold of that. Why? Because they seem to think that once a new generation comes, we have to edit, we have to rewrite, we have to take things out, we have to change things and everything else. And that is not what God said. He said His truth. Well, see, that's the problem right there. I'll just stop right here and give it to you. See, one of the things I noticed as I was memorizing this is notice the focus, right? He says in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. So by the time you get to the end, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. It's not my truth. Right?
It's not my mercy, right? Because I may forgive you for a while, and then I may remember it again and may hold it over your head again. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's not our Lord. And it's not my truth and your truth. It's His truth. Isn't that one of the problems that we're dealing with in this world? What do they say? It's your truth, right? You decide your truth, and you can have your truth, and I can have my truth, and everyone has their own truth. But you know what the problem is? It doesn't work. Because if my truth and Bob's truth are different, then we got a problem. One of us has to be wrong, or both of us. But they say, no, we're both right. And you see this world is twisting themselves in knots because everyone's trying to be right at the same time, and they can't. That's why I'm glad we have His truth. So by the time we get to the end of this psalm, we realize something. Do you realize there are seven commands in this psalm? You ready? We'll say them real quick again. Seven commands. Number one, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's number one. Number two, serve the Lord with gladness. Number three, come before His presence with singing. Number four, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Number five, enter into His courts with praise. Number six, be thankful unto Him. And number seven, bless His name. And then it gives us two big reasons why. Why? Because He's God, He's our Creator, and He's a good God, right? That's why we do all these seven. Not just that, but His mercy and His truth are everlasting and will never end. You put those things together and you're like, my goodness. If we would just get a hold of who God is and what He's done and what He's promised to do and what we know He will do and His mercy and His truth, that seven shouldn't be a problem, right? It should be no problem to make a joyful noise unto a God that's like that, right? It should be no problem to serve the Lord with gladness for a Lord whose mercy is everlasting. Yeah. Because in our mind, we bring our sin back up, don't we? The devil reminds us of it. We remind ourselves of it. But then we need to remind ourselves that the same Lord that I'm serving, His mercy is everlasting. He's given me a new start. That's why we can enter into His gates and His courts with thanksgiving and praise and be thankful and bless His name. Psalm 100. It's short, but it's good. But then the question is, are you following it? And if you're not following it, maybe you need to remember who you're singing to, who you're praising, who deserves our praise, who deserves our thanks, and who deserves giving our life in service to Him. It's the Lord. He created us, not ourselves. We're not in charge. He is. He's good when we're not good. He's merciful when we don't deserve it. And His truth is everlasting. I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight. We're going to open up the altar if you need to pray. Thankful for God's word. Thankful that His truth is forever.